Thank you for listening to this podcast from Renew San Diego, a church for the good of all our neighbors in North Park, San Diego. If you're ever in the area on Sunday mornings, we'd love to welcome you. More information at renewsandiego.org. Share with a friend. See you soon.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and siblings, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the word of the Lord. Please take a moment for silent reflection.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, lead us by your Spirit. In the silence and stillness of this moment, we invite you to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, convince us of your great love and truth. We come to this moment from a variety of perspectives and experiences. We come here excited, hopeful, joyful, connected, fearful, anxious, confused, exhausted, alone, angry, addicted, depressed. We come here confident and hopeful for what you would say or do in our lives and in our world. We come wondering if you even exist, or if you do, if you even care. Most of us, a mixture of these different perspectives, depending on the moment. But as diverse and different as we are from one another, help us to see that we have far more in common than we realize. Each of us created in your image and likeness, bearing your honor and dignity. And each of us fragmented, fractured, coming undone in one way or another. And your response to the beauty and brokenness of our lives and of this world is to move toward us in the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so now we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would teach us in a way that our lives would be transformed and this world would be renewed. Send us out to be your very agents of resurrection renewal for our good and for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. before the service, there was a question of who was going to be the scripture reader today. And so one person said, I thought I was reading, or I didn't know I was reading, and I'll read. No, I'll read. And then there, I thought, as a pastor, this is a really great problem to have. Two people eager to read scripture at church. This is what we hope for. And I kind of wanted to say, have you looked at the scripture yet today? I don't know if this is the one you want to read today. This is not one of those cheery scriptures to get out there and read. This is not a scripture that I chose. This is one that was chosen for us. The way that we approach scripture at the church on Sundays is by following what's called the Revised Common Lectionary, which is the list of readings that most churches around the world will read on any given Sunday. And so you heard a scripture that most Christians in every time zone are processing, are thinking through, are praying through, and applying today. A scripture that was written about 2,000 years ago and still feels like it was written yesterday. Interesting. On a side note, I've been to Dubai twice. And yeah, that has nothing to do with the previous part, but I'll weave them together. I've been to Dubai twice. On the way to South Sudan to work with the hospital and the orphanage and a school that our church in, that I pastored in San Francisco had helped to establish and to support. And when you pass through Dubai, anybody, just show of hands, anybody been to Dubai before? It is the most opulent city I've ever seen in my entire life. You can buy gold in a vending machine. I'm not kidding. You can buy a Rolex at the gas station. For real. Can you imagine? Fill up on number 7 and a Rolex Navitimer, please. That'll be $37,000. It's different than Vegas. When you drive down the strip in Vegas, it feels opulent. But if you've ever been on the back service roads, you kind of see all the paper mache and wood that kind of props up the front, kind of like almost like a Hollywood set. You feel like if you cut Vegas in half, it would just be kind of paper mache. It looks glitzy and lights and all that, but you know it's not real. I think if you cut Dubai in half, it would just be solid gold, I'm pretty sure. And a lot of sand, let's be honest. And then you find out the stories of people. And you realize actually not everything that glitters is solid gold. Where very few people in Dubai are actually from Dubai. They're either uber wealthy and got to move there to exhibit and to grow their wealth, or more, the other 99% were moved there sometimes against their will to serve and to slave those who have. And you go, something not right here. We just heard a scripture in which people are entering the city of God, Jerusalem, on the biggest festival of the year, Passover. It is the time to go and party and celebrate and remember the grace of God. And the epicenter of that was to go to the temple. This would be like if you went to Washington, D.C. on the 4th of July and hung out, you know, in the ellipse in front of the White House with the Washington Monument and the Capitol building and all of that. Right, you're like in the place where it happened. And they say, look at those stones. Look how beautiful that is. Look how strong that is. Look how sturdy that is. And Jesus, the ultimate downer. Can you imagine? Like, yeah, but it's all gonna burn. Yeah, but it's all gonna crumble. Nothing's gonna be left on top. It's like singing happy birthday and he's like, yeah, but you're gonna die. You know, it's like, come on, Jesus. We're enjoying this moment. But it's one of the things I appreciate the most about Jesus himself and the way that scripture conveys him is it's honest, it's raw, it's true. It's not just this kind of happy, believe enough, and everything's gonna work out for you the way that you want it to work out. He actually confronts the trials, tribulations, and difficulties of this world. And so he basically says, there's nothing here that's actually going to endure. Can you imagine how you're looking at this thing that's made of rock and gold, and he goes, sorry, it's not gonna last. What are you talking about? And the question is, what is sturdy, solid and stable enough to support your life through all of the difficulties of this world? And Jesus leads them to say, there is a new assessment of what lasts and endures. And he says, do you know what will last and endure? My people connected to me because of my grace and my presence. And the more that you and I can take that down into our heart, activate it into our lives, the more fearless you will be. He doesn't say you will be more safe. He says you will be more dangerous for the kingdom of God in all the most beautiful and powerful ways. Let's take a look at this in the time we have. 4 quick points. I hope they're quick. We'll see. Look at those beautiful stones. the stones won't last. Jesus is the true cornerstone. And then the mystery of how you get connected to all of this. First, look at those beautiful stones. Verse 5. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. Look at those beautiful stones. Now the context is, as I mentioned, they're in Jerusalem. They're standing in front of Herod's temple. Now, this temple was actually built 500 years prior. It was the second temple in Jerusalem, but it was refurbished by Herod about two decades prior. Herod was the puppet local king. Caesar was king of the empire. Herod was in charge of what's going on in this particular province. And so Herod refurbished the temple. And when I say refurbished the temple, I mean he knocked down walls and built bigger walls, and he said, we're going to double the size of it, all sorts of things. And he did. If you look at the models of what he built with the Antonia Fortress, four huge towers projecting power, projecting authority, projecting strength. But the truth was, Herod was deeply insecure. This is documented. He was so insecure. Watch out for a mixture of insecurity and power. Whew. Yeah. He was so insecure that he would use his power not to fire family members from positions, to have them killed so that they could not oppose his leadership. This is the same Herod we read about early in the Gospels in the infancy narratives of Jesus, when Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him because he had massacred all the infants under 2 years old, just trying to wipe out the rumor of the one king of the Jews who was on his way. This is a dangerous person. And he built this. And you look at the power, you look at the authority, you look at the grandeur. And the whole thing is projecting strength and authority and stability and power to cover insecurity. So here's the question. A, use this as a lens to view your world. Where do you see that fitting? But also use this as a mirror to view yourself. Because we have a propensity, we seem to have a gravity to look for the beautiful stones we can put our trust in all around us. Whether it's a political leader, whether it's a home of a certain size or look or location, whether it's a certain status or appearance, whether it's the right amount of money in your bank account, whether it's the right relationship with the right person, because if you can get them, then you must be somebody. We do this in all sorts of ways. The question is, what are the beautiful stones you're putting your trust in right now? And are they really strong and stable and sturdy enough to hold you no matter what comes? Because Jesus says, the stones won't last. There's a quick progression here. He goes from the stones of the temple won't last, to there's going to be confusion, to there's going to be wars and insurrection, to there's going to be persecution toward you. There's going to be family members at each other's throats. This unravels quickly. I remember when one of the SpaceX rockets blew up upon launch, and Elon Musk called it an unscheduled rapid disassembly. He says, life falls apart. You know this. Isn't this the second law of thermodynamics? Entropy, decay? Your body is falling apart unless you do a lot of work to keep it together. Relationships fall apart unless you really are intentional about keeping them on track and connected. This world is coming undone, he says. Now, we have to zoom out and realize, because this temple was eventually destroyed in 70 AD, and Luke was probably written right after. And so in some ways, it's not that Luke is pre-writing this to put the history in Jesus' mouth so Jesus looks like he knows the future, because also there's writings about this in the Gospel of Mark that was written before the temple was destroyed. The point is, the audience here would say, oh, check, we remember that temple. We remember those stones. We remember that gold, and now it's all rubble. Same thing with the persecution that will come for you, wars and insurrections. What's the point, he says? Do not be terrified. People running every direction saying, I've got the answer, follow me, I know what's going on here. He says, do not be led astray. This was all written most likely after Nero publicly murdered thousands of Christians. And the point is, these destructions, these persecutions, these difficulties had happened and will happen. They happen. Don't be led astray. Don't be terrified. He says, you'll have an opportunity to witness, and I will be with you. Eugene Peterson said, the spiritual life is about becoming less impressed with what doesn't last. You realize there are billions of marketing dollars, awesome algorithms, all engineered to get you to be impressed with things that don't last. That's not neutral. Tim Keller said, if you build your identity on anything but God, it will ultimately crumble. Soren Kierkegaard said, Christ is the solid rock upon which the honest person can build. The question is, what are you building on? Jesus says, come to me, because he is the true cornerstone. We're already on point three, by the way. We're crushing this. Jesus is the true cornerstone. Elsewhere, he says, in one of the other renditions of this moment, they say, look at the stones, look at the temple. He says, if that temple was torn down, if the temple's torn down 3 days later, it will be rebuilt. And they go, it took us like generations to build this thing. What are you talking about? And then we get the little parenthetical. He was referring to himself, for he would be crucified and 3 days later rise from the dead. Don't you see? Jesus is the true temple. He's the true, sturdy, solid stone that each of us is looking for beyond all the little stones of our lives. Beyond all of the striving and running and seeking to be validated and accepted and wanted, he says, I have already known you since before you were born, and I love you. I call you my own. Amidst all of the amassing and securing and getting ready for anything, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll walk with you through anything. And even if they should kill you, I will raise you from the dead. And if you need proof of that, look at my death and resurrection as the down payment. What if that was the truest tenor of your life right now? As you go through your news feed, as you think about what's happening in our country or our city, or just in your life with all of its own circumstances, to have that kind of a stone on which to build. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, early church plant, said, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. He says, build on me. Now, the great thing is, if you build in San Diego, I've done this. I don't know if you should try it if you can. You have to go through permitting. You have to go through processes. You have to wait a lot. Jesus says, you can start building on me right now. There's no delay. In fact, I'm already at work in the building because I'm the master builder as well. And this is how you and I get connected. Because the great mystery is that he reveals the fallacy of the shiny stones we all put our trust in. He comes to us humbly in power to serve as the true cornerstone. And then he says, as you build on me, you become stones in this great building as well. You become the temple as well. What's the temple? It's where heaven and earth overlap and intersect. What's the temple? It's where God goes to dwell with God's people. Jesus is the true temple. And then he says, as you're connected to me, you are the temple as well. Is your view of yourself that high? It should be. Talk about an identity. Add up everything on everybody's LinkedIn page in this room and it doesn't hit 1/1,000th of that. He calls you his own. Don't take my word for it. The Apostle Paul goes on, the next line in that scripture I read to you. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That is a foundation sturdy enough, stable enough, noble enough to build, to withstand anything. As you witness new members joining today, and someone being baptized today. You're witnessing what we call the visible body of Christ. Anybody connected to Jesus is part of the body of Christ, but the visible body of Christ is the moment where you can say, I have a date and a time and a place I remember when I was received into the fellowship of the church, where I not only made commitments to the church made commitments to me. This is us mirroring to one another the love that God has for us. And I love that it's completely honest. There is no bait and switch here. There is no, if you become a Christian, then you can track the progress of your life on a chart and it will be upward and to the right all the time. It's not gimmicky and like Oprah, where you get a gift under your chair and you get a gift under your chair and you get a gift under your chair. No, Jesus comes and says, follow me. It will be costly. It will be valuable. You will receive the greatest gift that you could never afford, that you've always needed. He says, you'll receive me. And the way you will experience it, by and large, is together. When Jesus is speaking, there's a lot of you. You don't be afraid. You don't be terrified. You don't be led astray. All of those yous are plural. In the South, they would be y'all. We experience this. We enact this together. And he says, whether the trials and the persecution lead to acquittal or death, lead to prosperity or to struggle, he says, I will be connected to you as you are connected to the body of Christ, as you are connected to me. And so friends, my hope for all of us is that whatever it looks like for you to take the next step of accepting that, of receiving that, of walking in that truth with one another, that is a stable foundation. That's what he commends to us today. Let's pray. Gracious God, I pray now that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear your voice as you call us to yourself. Reveal the truth of our lives, the bright and shiny objects that we chase after. We spend so much energy and time, effort, striving. And when we don't achieve them, we wonder if we ever will. And when we do achieve them, we wonder how long it's going to last before it runs out, because it's never enough. Help us to see that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Help us to see this calling for us today, to stand on you, to build on you, to trust in you. And then that gives us a foundation to launch out into our neighborhoods, our families, our city, and our world. As you said, to endure. And so give us a durable, sturdy faith, not rooted in our ability, because that wavers. Give us a durable, sturdy faith that is rooted in your faithful presence. We pray thy kingdom would come and thy will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.